It's a new day. It's Wednesday. Getting less and less amount of sleep until the big one on Sunday at 5:30. Can't wait. Getting more and more amped up and excited for this game.
I wish it was the early game, though. Not going to lie about that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. So the narrative that's going to go around this week, and it has gone around basically this entire year. Well, first it was they just don't care. They're just, you know, they're bored. They're not having fun. They're just going through the motions.
Yes, it was called the regular season.
Yeah. Now it's the, you know, blame the referee narrative that the Chiefs get all the calls. And found out yesterday that Cleet Blackman, in case you're under a rock, that's the referee that is going to officiate the game. That's where we're at, fellas. We are now highlighting who the referee matchup is at every single Kansas City Chiefs game. In fact, they announced the Super Bowl referee crew as well, and he also favors the Chiefs, apparently, to the internet. This was a YouTuber yesterday. You thought the Kurt Warner audio was bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs referee has been assigned, and this is worst-case scenario. Now, to be completely honest with you, Bills fans knew going into this that we would be fighting the Kansas City Chiefs plus their most valuable player, and that just so happens to be the officiating squad. Well, let's just say that Kansas City brought their first ballot Hall of Famer, Cleet Blakeman. Now, Cleet is referee to Buffalo Bills game already this year, and it was the Bills and the Jets game at home in Buffalo where the Buffalo Bills hung up about 40 points. He's also known for refereeing that Thanksgiving game against the Detroit Lions where there was a lot of questionable calls, more specifically on the Lions side of the ball than the Buffalo Bills. Spoiler alert, that Bills team ended up winning. Now, with Kansas City, he actually has a really good record, or rather, the Chiefs have a good record with him. Did not officiate a single Chiefs game this year, but the last game he did was the Christmas Day upset when the Las Vegas Raiders beat the Kansas City Chiefs
really
in 2023.
Point.
For the most part, a staggering record. Now, to get an idea of his favorite flags, here is a short list. Most notably, unnecessary roughness and also defensive pass interference, so something to think about. But hey, we knew this going in. Sound off in the comments and let me know your thoughts. But Cleet Blakeman, he's the dude.
Have we heard from anybody in Buffalo talking about the referees this week? And when I say Buffalo, I mean team-wise, like we did with Houston, you know, and how worried they were about the referees. I got to think this is not something that the Buffalo Bills are going to be talking about this week because they've been here before. They know what they have to do, and they know deep down inside they're not playing against the referees because Josh Allen has gotten more favorable calls this year than Patrick Mahomes has. And that's just a fact. You could look that up on the internet. I think also, too, is that Buffalo is a damn good team and they believe in themselves. They don't need to focus on the referees. Teams that are telling their players and coaches that are telling their players to focus on the referees and they're going to be a problem are losers. I mean, there's no other way to put it because you're trying to find ways to make excuses for your team losing as opposed to saying, we're just not good enough. We're not ready to go, Houston. And so I don't think Buffalo, and you know, I'm sure the reporters up there will ask and pry and try to get them to say something, but I would guarantee you, almost guarantee you, I should say, that Sean McDermott isn't even bringing up the officials this week because there's so much you can control, and that's something you just can't control. So focus on what you can control and not what you can't control and go try to win a football game.
I just don't understand how, you know, people can just use this as like the defining situation in this game. Like, this is going to be an epic game. I think this game will be one of those historic games that we go back and watch, win or lose, and obviously less if you were to lose the game. But, you know, this is Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. These two guys have basically played their whole careers to play this game more than once. Mm-hmm. This is the second time they'll play this game against each other in this situation. It just so happens both times will be at Arrowhead. Sorry about that. But to use the referees to cloud the picture of what this game could be is to me, it's a little bit, I don't know, lazy. It's a little bit screams excusing. Like, why don't we just let the game play out before we even see the game play out? Houston obviously wasn't going to allow that to happen. We found that out with their media hits where they were saying, yeah, we knew going into this game.
Right.
Okay, well, when you say that, you've let me know already that you're using something as an excuse in case you're already thinking you're going to lose. Buffalo's not that team. Buffalo's a team that says, you know what? We can't control what we can't control. Essentially, we look forward to the challenge of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what they want. This is rivalry 1A versus 1B. This is Brady versus Manning. This is Belichick versus whoever, Dungy, whoever was the coach in Indianapolis to out those years of that run. And I thought that Chris Long made a good point because he says, don't give me some BS take like, well, the one time I saw this, because that's not the way facts are worked out. If you have a serious claim like the Chiefs get a bunch of calls, then yeah, back it up with the Chiefs get a bunch of calls. But you know what else gets a bunch of calls? Every other effing team in the league. Just because you saw their game in primetime and you really want them to lose, you operate with a certain amount of emotion. The Chiefs don't hurt my feelings. I like greatness.
Yeah, I love greatness. I love what this team is doing. And there's nothing better than dominating like this. And I know teams and fan bases and everybody else, it's just a hard jealousy that they have going on right now. But in order to get over that jealousy, instead of being jealous of somebody, go out there and try to be better than that person. Ugh. And if you can't beat them, then you tip your cap and you say a well-played game. And I got to be honest with you, man. Like, I just don't think this is going to come down to referees. But that's all we're going to hear about. And people are going to muddy the waters. And regardless of what takes place on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening at Arrowhead, there will be somebody complaining about the referees, whether it's Mad Dog or Greenberg or NFL Network or Fox Sports or whoever the case may be. Emmanuel Acho, I haven't heard from him this week. I'm sure there will be a bunch of people complaining about the referees, because the folks that ultimately complain about the referees are the folks who just don't quite understand football and how games work and the strategy that's involved and what you have to do to go out there and win a football game. It's just easy, and it gets people riled up and it gets people to click. That's why the media overhypes weather. That's why the media overhypes everything, because it gets people emotion and it gets people to click and it elicits a response. And so if you were to say that the Kansas City Chiefs won that game because they outrushed Buffalo, people are like, oh, ho hum. But if you say, my God, this call cost the Buffalo Bills a win against the Chiefs, that gets people riled up. That gets them to click. We're all a part of that, you know?
Boy, I'm sick of Kansas City.
Yeah. Did you see he apologized a little bit yesterday because the Chiefs tweeted out Caitlin Clark's picture as an 8-year-old in her Chiefs jersey with her whole family? And his response was, well, does she know about Super Bowl I?
What?
Who the hell knows about Super Bowl I, Grandpa? Like, most people who knew about Super Bowl I hate to say it this way, are dead.
That's your comeback?
That was it. But does she know about Super Bowl I? And I was thinking about that. And I'm thinking about, like, you know, I'm a history guy, so I know these things. But that's me, right? Mm-hmm. When I first started at KMBZ back in 2001 and they sent me to training camp, instead of going out in River Falls, Wisconsin, I sat in the Super 8 Motel and read the media guide from cover to cover so I would know everything about the Chiefs.
Pages.
It's a huge, thick, boring book. And I read that so I would know. But I also like history. To ask a 23-year-old kid if she knows anything about Super Bowl I is one of the worst comebacks that you can have. Just because somebody doesn't know about Super Bowl I doesn't mean they're not a fan of a team, of a game that took place 58 years ago.
It's gross. Yeah, I don't, I get it. I mean, I understand that, like, you know, you run out of things to say, but again, this is a game that is like I mentioned earlier, is getting shadowed by a bunch of excuses. And yeah. I hate that, because this is going to be one of the, like,
it's going to be a great game.
If you're a sports fan, like, what do you think the four possible outcomes are, right? Chiefs win close, Buffalo wins close. Chiefs win blowout, Buffalo wins blowout. Like,
it's going to be one of the first two, I think.
I don't think it's going to be blowout. I would love it. I would love it to be like 21-3 at halftime. Chiefs.
Yeah.
And be like, okay. All right, let's book that flight.
I'd still be super nervous.
Yeah, and I think that, and I'm glad that you bring that up, because I think the reason why, and maybe you can get in on the text line as well, 913-586-7965. I think the reason why people are nervous, and maybe this will also be towards our poll question that we'll do in a little bit, it's Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we sit here and we talk all season long, and you watch people do, like, you know, tiers of quarterbacks or Mahomes Mountain, and, you know, you see these things happen all the time, and you try to, you know, pick who's the next guy. Like, it's Mahomes, clear number one. Who's the next guy? And some people might have Burrow still, but
that bloom is falling fast.
I've always been Josh Allen, 6'5", 250-pound quarterback, can do it all,
right?
And is essentially the closest thing to Patrick Mahomes. Can be a stone cold killer. Is going to be an MVP. They essentially gave Josh Allen the same sort of offense they gave Mahomes 2 years ago, where they said, hey, we don't really have any big names out there, but we know that we believe in your talent and your skill set, so why don't you just go be that guy, go be Superman? He was all year. And he's the guy that seems to beat Patrick Mahomes in the regular season. He's the guy that Mahomes is closest with off the field. They're friends, but yet enemies. Right. And yet he's that quarterback that when you watch him, you're like, oh, man. if there's one guy that gives me any sort of doubt, that gives my Chiefs any sort of doubt, it's Josh Allen.
Yeah, but there's always going to be that second guy in professional sports.
Like, you never think New England was about that with Peyton Manning? Like, yes. Even though they beat him a lot in the playoffs, they still, every year it was Brady versus Manning. Like, that freaking Peyton Manning guy, dude.
They beat Tom Brady more in the playoffs than
Peyton won a few times in there. Peyton was three and two
in the five games.
In the five games against Brady.
And
so
one of them was the biggest comeback in divisional round history at the time, where they were down 21-6 in the half, and then Peyton Manning brought the team back.
And one of them was in Denver too, if I'm not mistaken, with Peyton Manning, right? Didn't he beat Tom Brady as a Denver Bronco at one point in time? Peyton. So he actually had the advantage at that 3-2
Peyton Manning.
You know, with Tom Brady. But you know, Josh Allen is always going to be that number two guy. He's always going to be that Peyton Manning to, you know, Tom Brady and whatnot. And so I just think right now those are the two best quarterbacks this league has, and you can debate 3 through 32 if you want. You guys can sit around and debate 3 for 32, who's 3, who's 32. It doesn't matter. The two best are playing on Sunday, and that's what we want. And it goes back to the penalties and whatnot. And I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I'm like, don't you want to see Josh Allen? Don't you want to see Patrick Mahomes? Don't you want to see all these great quarterbacks? Yeah, I do. Okay, then we're going to protect these quarterbacks, because that's the only way that you can see them. But Josh Allen has to overcome Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Ewing had to overcome Michael Jordan. It never happened, right? You look around, like Alex Rodriguez had to basically overcome Derek Jeter. That never happened. Sometimes you are just the number two, and that's okay. You can be a great number two. And that's where Josh Allen is right now. He's a great number two behind Patrick Mahomes. And even if he beats Patrick Mahomes, he doesn't pass Patrick Mahomes, because Patrick still has so much hardware to go. But, I mean, to sit there and think it's going to be about anything other than those two quarterbacks going out there and balling their asses off on Sunday, I think you're absolutely beside yourself, and you're working yourself into a lather. Because I think, guys, and you know, I could be totally wrong about this, this feels like one of those games of anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. And then, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to throw a touchdown pass, and then here comes Josh.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. And that's the type of game it's going to be. I think we're on pace to see one of the it is the most important game at Arrowhead, but I think we're on pace to see one of the greatest games at Arrowhead. That's the 13-second game. It's one of the greatest games in the history of the league. But maybe we top that this year. I don't know what's going to happen. I just think it's going to be an unbelievable football game that at the end of it, whatever happens, we're all just going to be a wasted mess and just overexposed and tired and ready to melt, right? Like, it's going to be one of those games that sucks all of our energy out, and we're spent and we didn't even play.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we sign up for this job when we're young bucks and we're trying to figure out why do we do this? Like, why do sports do it? I think there's like a tier of the way it becomes is, you know, you either stay a fan and, you know, you veer off and, you know, you listen on the radio and debate what you hear, which is totally fine. We love that as well. Or you're like us and you take a massive pay cut just to talk loud into a microphone and give your opinion, which obviously you start off as a sports fan, you follow a team. You then fall in love with an athlete. You then get into sports a little bit more. You start to fall in love with the sport. You start to fall in love with other sports. Then you start to fall in love with storylines. This is the exact reason why all of us, listeners, fans, media, coaches, players, this game Sunday is why you do sports. Like, this is the definition of what sports are. This is the best versus the best.
Right.
This is the game that decides to go to the game. You want to be the man, you got to beat the man. Ric Flair once said that back in the day in WCW or WWF, whatever it was. And Patrick Mahomes is the man. Josh Allen has been a man this year. But if you want to beat the man, you got to beat him. And I think that's one of these games where you sit back and everybody feels the same way, I think, about this game. It's not, you know, last week where it's like, yeah, we should beat Houston, then 8.5-point favorites, move to 9. Right now, the Chiefs are a 2-point favorite at home, right? You want to go back
Didn't that game start as a pick'em?
I think it was always 1.5.
Was it? Okay, I thought it started as a pick'em. So the Chiefs are a 2-point favorite right now?
Moved up a little bit, okay.
Yeah, and I think what's crazy about this and why this game is that way is you look at what the Chiefs and Bills' history is in the last 10 games. It's a dead even.
Dead even.
5-5.
Yep.
Same amount of points scored, 251 points for each team.
I know, it's crazy, right?
Like, we talk about Saturday, the planets lining up. Damn it, the AFC's lined up with stars.
I know.
You got Kelsey, you got Mahomes, you got Allen, you got, you know, Andy Reid, you got all these players, all these superstars with all this on the line. You talked about last week, legacy game for C.J. Stroud, legacy game for whoever. Damn it, this is a legacy game for the two quarterbacks, and I cannot wait to watch this game because of what it means and what it means for both sides. Like, again, we talked about in the lead at 6. Josh Allen wins this game. He takes those 3 losses in the playoffs and all that doubt and all that history, and he races it. Men in black, little thing. Gone. Boom, it's over. You just beat the Chiefs en route to a three-peat. That is the toughest dagger they've taken in the last 7 years.
Oh, it'll be worse than the Cincinnati loss if they lose this game at home.
It'd be worse than the Super Bowl blowout.
No doubt.
Like, damn it, it was Josh Allen. It will always be Josh Allen. Whereas, flip the script, damn it, it's always Mahomes. Now they're going to win a three-peat. And the way they did it, they beat Josh Allen in his best season ever with the Buffalo Bills, who maybe had their best season ever in the Josh Allen era. And it happened at Arrowhead, and it just so happened to be en route to a three-peat.
And then the odds will come out, and the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen will be the favorite to win the Super Bowl next year, and Josh Allen will be the favorite to win the MVP next year. But that's just kind of the way, you know, that it goes. This is a legacy game for a lot of people. It's a legacy game for Travis Kelce. And like I said earlier, we'll talk about Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. It's a legacy game for Andy Reid because there's a lot at stake for him as a head football coach. It's a legacy game for Sean McDermott because if he loses this game, his legacy now becomes you just can't win the big one, pal. You're Marty Schottenheimer 2.0, and we may have to make a decision and move on to find the guy that can get us over. Who that is at this point in time, I don't know. But it's a legacy game for Sean McDermott. It's a legacy game for Josh Allen. It's a legacy game for the Buffalo Bills. It's a legacy game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, there is so much at stake for everybody in this game. There's so much on the line for both organizations and both franchises. I don't know that we've seen a championship game of this kind of magnitude where history can be changed, where legacies can be changed, where everything that we know on a Wednesday can be totally rewritten at 7, 8, 9 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
And you know everybody's going to watch.
Of course everybody's going to watch.
And I thought this was funny because this is from Pro Football Talk yesterday. It says, good news, Ravens and Bills averaged 42.2 million views on CBS Sunday night. The bad news is, in the same window last year, the Chiefs and Bills hit 50.4 million.
Right, because the Chiefs are a draw. People are using all these numbers, saying the numbers are down. Well, yeah, technically they are down. But you're not giving us the same product that you gave us a couple of years ago. Green Bay's not around. Dallas isn't around. Like them or hate them, they draw eyeballs to the TV. And as good as that Buffalo-Baltimore game hype was, still wasn't Patrick Mahomes. You weren't hate-watching that game.
No, parties will be had to hate-watch the game.
Like, yes.
Bring it on.
Nobody was hate-watching Baltimore versus Buffalo.
They're both rooting for him.
You're watching that game, you're just like, just give me a good game.
Yes.
And we got a good game, right? But when you have a team that people hate, which is why the Yankees are always on Sunday Night Baseball and the Dodgers are always on Sunday Night Baseball, because you love them or you hate them. There's no middle ground. And that, quite frankly, is where the Chiefs are right now. We love them. Everybody else hates them. And hate watching is just as important as love watching, right? And that's what I say about us. There are people that text nasty stuff all the time. I don't care what you think. You're listening.
You're in.
And you're in, right? And that's the way it is for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
People will be locked in whether it's 30-0 or 30-30. I think it's important.
Now, if it's 30-0, you will see people, you know, go find 60 minutes or something like that. But a close game, everybody stays around.
I think 60 minutes won't be on because the Chiefs game had to finish up first.
Oh, that's right. We are on CBS. Yeah, exactly.
60 minutes comes all your viewing, except for local
news. West Coast. Yeah, they'll get 60 minutes. But no, 30-0, nobody's tuning in for that one. That's what you may even bounce early out of the stadium for.
If the Chiefs are down with 2.5 quarters left, 30-0, I don't think anyone's leaving. If it's the other way, I agree. I think you guys are talking about legacy a lot on the line. I think it's important to remember for Josh Allen that we just went through Brady Manning 5 times in the playoffs. This will already be Josh's 4th chance. And I think it's like,
Brady and Manning have only met 5 times.
5 times in 20 years.
Yeah, see,
this will be Josh Allen's 8th year, 4th times. It's not like it's going to happen every other year. Josh Allen, this is massive. Not only the 3-peat, you aren't going to face Mahomes again next year or the next year. Like, you might only get 3 more chances in your whole career.
And if you're Josh Allen and you lose this game, you probably should just retire.
No. Or just go to the NFC.
I support that.
Or go to the UFL.
No. Keep doing it. Give us something to watch. This gives me like the kind of vibes when it was Ohtani versus Trout in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
And, you know, the best versus the best.
It's awesome when you can do something like that, you know?
It's sports, man. This is why you do it.
The Dodgers versus their B team.
I've always said that, you know, it's a very awesome sporting event when you're emotionally invested before Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And I think everybody was emotionally invested on Tuesday. I think yesterday was when everybody started to get the feel. Monday, you kind of have the leftovers of the weekend. And then here comes Wednesday. You're like, oh, they're starting to speak at the podium. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, here comes the, you know, the injury reports. Here comes this. And then all of a sudden it's Friday. Everybody's wearing red and you're ready to watch that game on Sunday with all your boys and girls and friends. And it's all of a sudden it's on 5:30. Mm-hmm. You talk about hate watching. I'll be hate watching the NFC Championship game, just waiting for it to get to the AFC Championship game, even though there's a lot of storylines there. We can
but
get
nobody
to
nobody seems interested in that game whatsoever. It is like I won't see one play of that game. We'll be at the parking lot. We'll be at the game. I'll have no idea what happens. And,
nobody brings the TV to the tailgate?
We have a TV there on the bus. But,
You can watch history, man. You see the rookie quarterback of the Super Bowl.
Does nothing for me. I'm getting ready for our game. Like, that's I don't have time for anything else, man. It's focused on our game. Now, if it goes to overtime and they have it on the TV inside the stadium or something, and you can spot it or something like that, fine. But I'll catch up on the NFC game the next Wednesday or something.
Exactly.
Because it's all, like, I get invested. You've been there. You know what it's like, Mac. You've seen me. It, like, you pour everything into that game. I don't want to know about anything else. It's let's go and get this 100% victory and take care of business. I ain't got time for anybody else's appetizer on Saturday or Sunday. I'm ready for our game. Like, now it's getting, you know, later in the week, and we're all getting kind of souped up for that one. And it's supposed to be a pretty nice day, about 40 degrees. It's not going to be freezing. Hey. And it'll be a nice, nice, nice victory.